Good morning, good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Father, thank you. Thank you and praise you so much for all you do, Lord. I just praise you. And keep us ever mindful of all the things you do for us, all the little things that maybe we forget about now and then, that you keep, you know, keeping the planet in order, and that all the things as they should be, and that it's all within your power, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you so much. Thank you for the for Tuck and his operation went well, and then we also think about that the prayer service we had, and that things went well there too. And continue with the live stream. I want to pray for all those that are sick and getting over this getting over COVID, that you could be with them and give them strength and healing. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay. Another parable, the parable of the rich fool. It's not one of the more popular ones. I can't say I've heard a ton of sermons on this one, but I do remember it. And it's about, it's really about greed. It's about how to handle the good times and not let it get to us psychologically to where we think that we got a maid, we don't need to work at it anymore, almost get lazy. And so let's get some verses over here and take a look at this. We got a new picture. So a lot of it is somewhat self-explanatory, particularly on the right here. I know this is the parable we're going to talk about today. This particular picture says Luke 12, 13 through 21. So it'll be everything we're talking about today plus some. So I got a lot of verses today. We'll see how we do getting through it. Let me get it started here. First, we're in Luke 12, 13, and we'll be going all the way to, a lot of it is just reading, because I'm just going to read through the parable and point out a couple of things, read through this beginning part and point out a couple of things. Most of the teaching is in the second half, so that we'll start off here. This is kind of the lead up to why Jesus tells this parable. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, there it is. So this beginning part, somebody asked a question about inheritance, and I guess that this person was feeling he was cheated maybe out of his inheritance by his brother. And Jesus thought it a good opportunity to teach a lesson on this. So he's going to tell us a parable. I guess I'll point out a couple of things about greed here in this first part about judging in John 18:36. And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. I mention this because of what Jesus said about not deciding this. And I think that what he's driving at here with this with this reference is the fact that he's not concerned so much with what's happening in this world as he is in the next world, in the kingdom to come. And that's what we should be setting our sights on. I love the analogy that we're ambassadors for Christ, and that ambassadors go to another country, and there they serve their principal person that they're serving. In the case of an ambassador, say from the United States, might go to a foreign country, and and represents the United States in that foreign country. Well, think of us as ambassadors of Christ, and we're in a foreign land. This is not our home, and we're being here, and our sole purpose here is to support Jesus Christ and to further His commission, that the Great Commission, to go ye in all the world and spread the gospel, and to make disciples of all those we see. And so that's our sole purpose, and that's what Jesus is driving at here, is that, you know, this person is concerned about his inheritance, but as we go through this parable, we're going to see that that earthly goods, as they're necessary, we're not saying that it's wrong to want to have earthly treasures, but that shouldn't be our primary focus. And also over in Luke 18:18, talking about life, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now there's the question of the hour, and that's what we should all be asking ourselves, is what should we be doing to further the gospel. So now Jesus is going to go into a parable of the rich man, the rich fool. Now we can see this over in this side here. I'm assuming this is the rich fool, and he's got thoughts about making a larger storage area for his goods so that he can just sit and relax and not have to worry anymore. And that's what Jesus, and that's the premise behind. Let's look at this parable. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying," this is Jesus speaking, "the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful." I was going to sneeze. I guess not. "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Now, this part in itself isn't bad, okay, in my opinion. He's protecting for a rainy day, the things that he was, the fruitful season, to always be ready and be prepared for a not-so-fruitful season. But what Jesus is driving at here is what's coming up next. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Okay. Now this is the negative part of this. Now, so he's going to stop working, basically. He thinks he's got it made. He doesn't need any more. He can live for a long time on what he was fruitful for. And that's where the danger is. And Jesus goes on to say, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." There's the key verse right there, rich towards God. So we should be thinking more about our heavenly home and the things that we should be doing for the Lord. And that's laying up treasure. And the famous verse that Jesus quotes is that wherever your heart is, is where your treasure will be. So let's just pick out a few verses here. In verse 18, it had mentioned, "And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and now will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Well, some things on that over in Habakkuk 2:9. "Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, and he may be delivered from the power of evil." That was, be careful about trying to gain, spend your time trying to gain earthly treasure, because it could go up in a flash. You could die tomorrow, and who's going to get it then? And James also comments on this in James 4:13-15. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and now vanished away." For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And what James is basically saying here is that everything we should do is it should be in mind of what God wants us to do, what Jesus has in mind for us to do. We shouldn't be, and we should set our minds more towards what pleases God and what God has for us to do, rather than what we're going to do, what we're going to plan to do, because that could change in a moment's notice. Also, over in verse 19 of what we just read, talking about the soul, one of the great proverb here, Proverbs 27:1-2. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. I just kind of threw that in there because it's important that, I think that's an important aspect. It was actually 27:1 was what I threw in that second verse, because I think that's a great thing for us to remember, that that any kind of praise is always better coming from somebody else. I also like the reverse logic that Paul uses in his next passage in 1 Corinthians 15:32. Here he's kind of doing a reverse thing where he's, and this whole section is kind of like that. He's people are telling him things, and he's kind of using that against them in a way to say, what's the point in living that way, because you never know what tomorrow may bring. Well, here Paul is saying, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it to me if the dead rise not? So in other words, he's saying there, why am I trying so hard to get children of God for heaven and for the future days if there is no death, if there's no resurrection of life, that all there is this life and we go into the grave and that's it? So Paul is kind of saying, if that's the case, then, continuing on that verse, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. So if there was nothing to look forward to after death, why bother? You know, why go through trials and tribulation of life? Why not just do what you need to do? I mean, do whatever you want. But the point being is that this part of our lives is so short. Even if we live to 80 or 90 years old, that's pretty short. You know, in Revelation, it talks about that you'll still be considered a baby at 100 years old, that you're going to live forever, you know, even so that our bodies will never wear out. So in relationship to time, this is just a minuscule period of vapor, as it said in that other verse. So what we should be working for is towards our heavenly home, not our earthly one. Okay, continuing in verse 22 of Luke. So this is where Jesus is now going to use this as an example to his disciples. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. There's some great verses here over in Philippians 4:6. Helps with this verse, understand it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Continuing Luke 12:23, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And over in Psalms 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God is basically saying here that, why are you worrying so much about this? I'm going to take care of you. If you're one of my children, I'm going to take care of you. So don't worry about these kind of things. And going back to the idea of trying to build a fortune here, that God's going to take care of you. He goes through the start with some examples here in 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? I think before we move into here, though, this picture actually stops at verse 21. So just to kind of review on here, what good is money if? And then here you can see that the love of money is the cause of all evil. Whereas if you die, this is what's depicted up here. And so that this money will actually be given to another. It won't even, so why are we pursuing riches when we die? They're going to go to somebody else anyways. But I wonder if there's another picture for, I didn't check earlier. Let me see. Oh yeah, there is a little bit here based on the raven. I see the raven there. Let's see, this is for, they put it in the lower corner. This is Luke 12, it looks like maybe 22 through 74. Is there that many verses in this one? No, I'm reading it wrong. Luke 12, 22 through, it must be 34. Let me just see something here. Oh, yeah. So he painted a lot of pictures for this section. Okay, so we're on this picture now. So this is the raven and how God takes care of the ravens. And I can see what this one is. That we cannot. There's not one thing we can change about ourselves. Okay, what else we got? Pictures here. Oh, we should be setting our sights on heaven. That's what this is showing, the love, the heart. And it's kind of showing the heavenly home. And I'm not sure about the ship. We'll see if that comes up. And this one here, I think, is basically Jesus is telling this story to the disciples. So continuing on. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And some verses that kind of support this. Over in Job 38:41, who provided for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. One thing I want to point out, though, when it comes to this kind of thing, is that it doesn't mean you can sit in your house and wait for the food to come to you either. What God is basically saying is this raven actually had to go get that. What God is saying by providing food is he provided the vegetation. But the raven still has to go get it. He can't sit on his butt and wait for it to come to him. I think that's an important aspect. Also in Psalm 147:9, he giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Okay, back to Luke 12:25. And which of you with taking through can add to his stature one cubit? And that's what we're seeing up in this picture here. Can you increase your height on your own? Man, there's no way you're gonna be able to do that. And one cubit's about 18 inches, so that's quite a bit actually. Verse 26. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And speaking of Solomon, I guess I'd point out over in 1 Kings is where we talked about Solomon and how he was dressed. So I just thought I'd show you that he was well renowned for his wisdom, and people from all over the world used to come and visit him. In this particular passage, the Queen of Sheba came to visit him because of his wisdom. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of the ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me, thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard. And it's an interesting thing about that, if you really study Solomon, when God asked him, what can I bestow upon you to help you with your kingdom? And I think most people that are greedy would actually say riches, but that's not what Solomon said. What he said was that give me the wisdom to be able to reign over the people with wisdom and be able to make decisions based on good wisdom. And so God granted him that, and God went on to say that, and I will also grant you wealth. Since you didn't ask for wealth, I'm going to give it to you. I think it's a great thing to remember that the wisdom of Solomon is well renowned. You know the famous story of the baby and how he figured out who the baby actually belonged to just by the wisdom that he knew. Excuse me. Okay, Luke 12:28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, talking about faith, over in Matthew 6, Matthew's got quite a bit to say about that. 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? 8:26. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of the little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now is that storm on the Sea of Galilee story. Matthew 14:31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thee of little faith, where dost thou doubt? That was when Peter was walking on the Sea of Galilee to meet Jesus, and he got fearful and started sinking. Matthew 16:8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, as you have brought no bread? We just talked about that one recently. Okay, back to Luke 12:29. And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. I think maybe that's what he was trying to depict here. O ye of little faith in the storm. Even though that was in a different book, that might be what the painter was trying to point out. But back to verse 30, over in Matthew 6:31-32. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what well shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you need of these things. And again, I think that's that meaning that the heavenly Father is going to open doors to allow you to be able to work or to be able to get the things you need. not always everything you want, but at least the things you need. And that part of the fun, I think, of living with the Lord is finding out what exactly he has in mind. Back to Luke 12:31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, speaking of the kingdom of God, I've got lots of verses on that. Well, I got a few here to mention. Over in Luke 10:40, we just saw that recently, about Martha and Mary. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But Mary was actually seeking the Lord's wisdom and knowledge. And seeking the kingdom of God, and that's in that verse. Okay, also in Luke 10:40. No, we just did that. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Well, that verse I've heard probably 1,000 times if I've heard it once. Very famous verse. John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? We've got God on our side. A wonderful thing to realize that we have the leader of the universe that cares about us and loves us. That's an awesome thing to think about. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but goodliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Set your sights on heaven. And Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay, back to Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. A few thoughts on this over in Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where things do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart be also. So I guess the one question that comes to mind is, how do we lay up treasure in heaven? Well, that's by trying to achieve what God wants us to do. So whatever God has in mind for you to do, if you're doing it, you're laying up treasure in heaven. And that's the bottom line, pretty much. Because God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need gold, doesn't need silver. I love that little joke I've heard people say. You know, I always hear these funny jokes about somebody shows up and to heaven, and one of them is this rich person shows up with two trunks full of gold and arrives at heaven. And St. Peter, that's always St. Peter, I think, is at the gate. So what you got there? And he says, well, I brought payment to get me into heaven. And Peter says, well, open it up. Let's see what you got. And he goes, what are we going to do with pavement? That ain't worth anything. The whole city is paved with that stuff. Talking about the new heaven. You know, it's streets of gold. So what are we going to do with pavement? God don't need anything. He just wants our loyalty and our love and to work for him and to do what he wants us to do. That's pretty simple. Okay, John 12:6, continuing on. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. This was Judas talking about, what were we talking about? It was on Luke 12:33. Oh, talking about giving alms and providing for the poor. And that was a famous case where Judas was complaining about the use of some expensive oil. That it could have been sold and given to the poor. But in this case, Jesus knew he wasn't going to give it to the poor. He wanted it for himself. And also in 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So again, it doesn't mean being rich is a bad thing. It's about how you approach what it is. If all you care about is gaining riches, then you haven't, then you missed the point. But if you do happen to have money, be willing to use it for things that honor God. And I think that's an important aspect. Most people say that tithing is a way of not getting too proud about your money. That giving to the church is a honorable thing. And it's a way of protecting yourself from being too greedy. So be able to give and give joyfully. I think that's an important aspect. Luke 12:34, ending for this period. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's what Jesus' last words on this. I thought I'd add in Colossians 3:1-3. Paul also adds a great ending to this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, great thing to remember is that our lives are, we're ambassadors here, and we're looking forward to that day that we get to go home. I like how I've heard some commentaries call it that typically when war is about ready to start, i.e. the tribulation, that most people in government will actually withdraw their ambassadors from that country, knowing that they're going to be in arm's way. And that's the same idea behind the rapture. So if you're not in the Lord's protection and having a relationship with Him, then you need to think about that, because you too will be an ambassador for the Lord, and that's a great thing. Because that time when He decides that it's time to go home, that He'll, i.e. the rapture, that you'll be along with us. So I'm there for today. Close with a prayer. Oh Lord, what a great thing, and that and You, Lord, always help us to not look at this world as our home, and to always be looking forward to that day that we're going to be with You in Your presence. Lord, I look forward to that day so much, and we can't help it. But while I'm here, Lord, please help me to always be ever diligent to work for You, and that everything we do honors You. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay. And I'm not sure what this is, except that it might be Jesus actually teaching the people the parables. That might be what that's referencing to. And of course, we should set our sights on heaven, and that this is our ultimate goal, is to go to heaven, and not to worry about the cares of the world. So I will talk to you again tomorrow, and have a great day.